to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center, Monday through
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Raging wildfires prompting urgent evacuations in the Texas Panhandle. ABC's Mola Lenghi is on the front lines.
We're about 25 miles north of Amarillo. This is one of several fires that continues to burn in Texas, scorching hundreds of thousands of acres of land, destroying scores of homes, and forcing dozens and dozens of communities to evacuate.
Operations paused at a nuclear weapons plant in Amarillo. Half a million acres burned so far in one fire that's said to be 0% contained. Donald Trump and Joe Biden each won their party's primaries in Michigan overnight, but a movement to cast a ballot for uncommitted over anger with U.S. Gaza policy generated more than 100,000 protest votes. Hunter Biden is set to appear on Capitol Hill today for a closed-door deposition with House Republicans still trying to impeach his father. No breakthroughs after what's being described as an intense Oval Office meeting between Biden and congressional leaders on averting a government shutdown. This is ABC News.
Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is asking the state Supreme Court to take a case that would likely decide if abortion is legal in Wisconsin. Call's petition asked the court to bypass the Court of Appeals and rule on how the state's law should be enforced. A Dane County judge ruled last year Wisconsin law bans feticide, but not abortion. Sheboygan County District Attorney Joel Ermansky is also asking the Supreme Court to take the case. It'll cost you more to get into a Packer game next season, anywhere from $4 to $10 more. The team is sending invoices to season ticket holders online this week. Even preseason games are going up $2 to $5. Even with the price increase, Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy says the cost of a Packer game is still below the NFL average. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Black Hawk Bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa near DeSoto will be closed for at least 2 months. The Iowa DOT said that the bridge, also known as the Lansing Bridge, had movement in two of its piers. The DOT is already working on stabilizing the bridge, according to a release, but work could take up to 2 months. Detours across the Mississippi River for vehicles are south in Prairie du Chien or north in La Crosse. The 93-year-old bridge was scheduled to be replaced in 2 years, with construction already underway next to the bridge, which caused the piers to move. The DOT said it wouldn't reopen the bridge until it was safe. Fire conditions remain high in southern Wisconsin even after rain and snow fell last night. That's because of ongoing drought and current windy conditions. Yesterday, the DNR reported 15 wildfires, and in the past week, 49 wildfires have happened across the state. At this time last year, there had only been 7 wildfires. The DNR says to use caution when burning anything outdoors, as it is still dry in southern Wisconsin and the wind could spread fires quickly.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Bucks and the Hornets tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are back home, and what Giannis says seems like forever, taking on the Charlotte Hornets.
Going home now. I feel like we've been on the road for so long. Play against Charlotte. They're a tough team, young team, play fast, very, you know, scrappy, crafty players, dangerous team. We have to, you know, respect them and play good basketball, play hard like we did. Hopefully we can get a win.
Bucks forward Bobby Portis.
The second half of the season, this is sprint right now. 24 games left, we had 26 after the break. Every game starts to matter.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers in Indiana to take on the Hoosiers. NFL, the Packers at the NFL Combine. GM Brian Gutekunst says he thought Green Bay was on their way to beating the 49ers and on to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, we were, you know, 5 minutes ago in that game. I mean, I think we were squarely thinking that's where we were headed.
That's Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and quite a bit colder today. Our high right around 25 this afternoon. The wind northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. That's going to keep the wind chill factor hovering in the single digits to teens most of the day. Tonight, clear 14. Tomorrow, sunny back up to 45 by Friday. Sunshine with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
The Todd Alba Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsinites.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Earl. I got a little bit of whiplash with the weather between yesterday and today.
Man, I was in short pants yesterday, man.
Yeah, it was a warm one.
Yeah, man. I was actually out and about, out in the weather, and man, enjoying it. And then reality hit us back in the face. And today, it was 74 degrees. In Milwaukee yesterday, and today when I got up, it was 19.
Yeah, and there was snow on the ground.
Yeah, man, hey, man, and ice, it could be worse, man. It could be Texas where they're blazes going all throughout many parts of Texas. Just wildfires, man, just devastating 400 or 500, 600 acres and more. Miles, actually, of open land in Texas. So it could be worse. I do want to say, before we get started, thanks to Stu, man, my friend, who filled in admirably, as he always does. Stu and I go way back. Stu is a really, really good friend, very talented radio guy who's been in radio over 40 years. And if you listen to him, you can tell. He has been trained in radio and is certainly an asset. So thank you, Stu, for doing a great job filling in for me. We got a lot to talk about this morning. As always, later on in the show, it's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than Dr. Craig. We've got a lot to talk about, but I want to begin the show by welcoming back to the studio Mr. Matt Stafford. He is the founder of Vincent James Mentoring Program. Good morning to you, Matt. How you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great. Thank you.
For people who may not remember, I think this might be about the third time we've had you in the studio.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Matt Stafford.
Yeah, so to give a little bit of a refresher of who I am, so I have a teen mentoring youth outreach called Vincent James Mentoring.
Here in Waukesha.
Here in Waukesha. We're actually in a building right across the street from Jimmy's Grottos. It's a historical building, 150 years old, and we're rehabbing it to build a custom counseling center and mentoring center within Waukesha County that no one has ever seen before. We're literally working with the individuals that no one cares about.
So when you say individuals that no one cares about, let's talk about those individuals. You have to know a little bit about that, right?
Yeah. So while I was growing up, I grew up in the social system. you know, I was placed, me and my brother were placed into a, my family. Now, Vincent James Canaglaro, his family, for 17 and a half years. We had 7 deaths within 6 years. And after that, I got into
7 deaths in that Vincent James family.
Yeah, 7 deaths in 6 years.
Vincent James, and just for the sake of clarity, Vincent James being a foster parent.
Yes, he was my he was, you know, my foster parent, my foster dad, but to me he was just my dad.
Right, and he had many other foster children.
Yes,
not just you.
No, no. We had my brother Dwayne and. My brother Marcus was adopted from birth to the family, and my gosh, I'm so very grateful for the opportunities that they gave us growing up. But you know, it wasn't an easy way that we grew up.
So I mean, being a treatment foster parent myself, know a little something about that system. You said you didn't have an easy upbringing. Clearly, you wound up in a foster home.
Right. So when my biological mother and father, they were physically and mentally disabled. My biological mother is schizophrenic, mildly retardated, has 5 different personalities, and she wanted to harm me. So when she just came to the realization, hey, I'm going to harm my kids, you know, so she called the police and said, hey, I'm going to harm my kids. Please take them from my custody. And I was 2 and a half at the time. My brother was 5. And, you know, we got placed in my foster father's family technically for 17 and a half years. But they're my family. That's where I spend Christmas and Thanksgiving, and you know, I love them, and they're a great. I can't complain about my family.
So let me say that people who aren't aware, people who don't know about the impact of having someone change their lives and yours, the impact that that has on one.
Oh yeah, it with one person that believes in you, or can show that they care, you don't know what an individual's going through. So even a smile, a hug, or even a small conversation, I mean, my gosh, I mean, my dad taught me the love of God. I don't know if some of your listeners do believe in God. I personally do, and if it wasn't for that hug, I mean, I probably would have committed suicide when I was 10 years old. And I was not in a healthy spot, and I didn't even know what that meant.
So I always say to this audience, you know, it's sometimes people don't really realize where our young people are.
No.
They have no clue whatsoever, and they think that young people— and not all, but some, the young people are just bad, and they just aren't the way we used to be, and they're doing all sorts of things that they should know better. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, mentorship. This is one of my phrases that I say a lot: is you don't know if you're a leader with or without. You're a leader with or without your permission. So you're a mentor, with or without your permission. Kids in themselves, whenever they're little and growing up, they're looking for somebody to lead them and teach them. Kids aren't bad. It's their environment that is teaching them skills to what they're doing. So if they're doing something stupid, it's because of their environment, their home or their school or, you know, their friends that, you know, are given the ability to do something that isn't appropriate.
So if you're just joining us, I'm joined once again by Mr. Matt Stafford. He is with Vincent James Mentoring Program. And, you know, it's not like things are getting better. When you look and see right now, almost one in two families end in divorce. Marriages end in divorce.
Yeah.
And so when people, I'm not saying people need to stay in marriages that don't work, but certainly children.
Oh, absolutely. Should,
and the fact that children can will be and are impacted every time there's a divorce, sometimes maybe people don't realize just how much.
You know, people don't necessarily realize how much a regular family, however your family
is. The importance
is,
of it.
The importance of it, of a father figure and a mother figure. And for the development of the child, biological, foster, or adopted, it's the mental care and the standards that you're giving. Because you're raising up future wives and husbands, and you're giving the standards to them. And the biggest thing that I see through my nonprofit is standards get skewed after time. With individuals, with the troubles of life, they're like, well, I just had to make this decision, and my kid just came along for the ride.
Let me ask you, were you a troubled teen? Is it safe to say that?
That's extremely safe to say. I was high school and junior high. I was mostly plastered. When my father passed away, when I was 15, nothing.
Your foster.
My foster father passed away when I was 15. I had six deaths before that, and I was just ransacked. I was trying to figure out who I am, and then to figure, to go through and mourn. It was horrible. I was high school. I was mostly drunk.
So where could you turn? Where did you turn?
So actually, Dean Culver started this place called the Teen Center. The Teen Center is no longer there in existence. If it wasn't for Dean Culver and what he did, I would have died, when I was 15. I actually had a backpack, and I had a butcher's knife in my backpack and a suicide note. He gave me a hug. He started this organization, this nonprofit, just to give kids a safe place to go. And my gosh, a simple hug. He didn't even know my name for like 3 months. And every Friday and Saturday, I would come to the teen center, and he'd just give me a hug the first thing. I was actually, when the teen center opened up the doors, I was the second teen that walked through the doors.
844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Mr. Matt Stafford. He is with Vincent James Mentoring Program on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
News from the center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. My guest is Mr. Matt Stafford of Vincent James Mentoring Program. So, as a young teen, you were addicted to alcohol.
Yeah.
Safe to say that.
Absolutely. Actually, Discount Liquor is where I used to steal most of the kegs of beer or any liquor I can get my hands on. I mean, I was just always plastered. I didn't know how to maintain my emotions, or I didn't know how to even manage what I was supposed to do.
So how were you able to overcome that?
So mentors, unexpected mentors as well. So I did grow up in church. Growing up in church helped, but when you lose seven people in 6 years, you kind of lose your faith. So the individual that I have a lot of respect for is Pastor Ona. His full name is Pastor Bob Ona. It's really hard for me to call him by his first name because I have so much respect for him. But he pretty much showed me, even through the hardships, you got to pull through. You have to have some faith in yourself, but I didn't know how to have faith in myself until someone showed me I was worth the breath I get, have. So Pastor Ona, Dean Culver, Paul Luan, Jay Maddox, there's, multiple individuals. I used to work at Smart Asset. There is this individual, her name's Mary, wonderful individual. And she was almost like a mother figure to me. So without a mentor, you really can't do much.
So I founded a mentoring program 2 years ago in the city of Milwaukee. I've been a mentor for the past 35 or more years.
Yeah.
I know the value of that. I came from a nuclear family where my parents were there for me. So it wasn't. And that kept me out of trouble, and it gave me direction and guidance. But it didn't mean that I wasn't aware that there were many young people who longed for that, for what I had. And part of the reason why I created my nonprofit was because I knew that there were kids who didn't have that. Now, I'll say this. Part of what is happening with what is the opiate people are taking, right? Fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
Part of the fentanyl addiction that you see so many people attracted to is the fact that there are people who came from backgrounds who really have had a tough go of it in their lives, and the fact that we as a society do not have the investment necessary to address young people who have difficult times in their lives, and then we blame young people. And so what we keep saying is lock them up, right?
Right.
Build more places to lock people up. And that is the worst thing that you can possibly do is to punish young people. Excuse me, I'm not saying who committed crimes, but through no fault of their own, are born into families and conditions that aren't conducive to them becoming positive members of the society.
You know, even with that is, you know, if they don't have the right mental skills, or, you know, if somebody's not teaching them a trade, or if somebody's not teaching them something, it's just, okay.
There's going to be somebody who's going to teach them something.
Right.
But it's going to be the wrong people.
Right. So what I'm striving to do is to be that catch-all, you know. So we're developing this custom counseling. And I actually taught myself how to read and write. I was practically illiterate all the way up till 25. I didn't know how to read much. I didn't know how to write much. By developing the nonprofit and my programming, taught myself how to read. And, you know, with that in itself, you know, teaching people how to be, you know, to write, to learn how to do basic math, it's to empower them to have a better lifestyle.
You know, man, there's an epidemic across the nation with young people stealing cars.
Oh yeah,
10 years old, 12 years old.
Right,
and the people can't seem to understand why would a 10 or 12 year old person steal a car. Well, they don't know the conditions that those young people are growing up in.
It's the standard of the house.
Yeah, and so they somehow believe that we're going to solve it by locking more and more of them up. They don't understand that there's not going to be enough money or enough jails to build to lock up 10, 12, 14-year-old kids, and that if you think that's the answer, those 10, 12, 14-year-old kids are going to grow up to be adults. And if you don't address the issues that put them in that condition in the first place, they're going to be adults doing bigger things.
Absolutely. If you don't address, so I have a theory. If you don't address the home environment, the school environment, and the work environment, you won't be able to serve the individual properly to give them a better understanding for a better way of life.
844-967-2789 is the number. My guess is Mr. Matt Stafford of Vincent James Mentoring Program. And I'll tell you something. Many people in this audience probably are not aware of the conversation that we are having. And at the root of most of those who are addicted and who are dying from fentanyl, overdose, is a broken home.
Absolutely.
And yet nobody's talking about the broken home. Nobody's talking about what do we do to address younger children who, as we speak right now, are in that same condition, and yet we aren't willing to do the things necessary as a nation to do this. Again, I'm a treatment foster parent. And so my wife and I changed our lives 21 years ago when we took in a young man who is now 23, who still requires 24-hour care. It's not easy, but somebody has to do it, and more of us need to step forward. 844-967-2789. My guest is Matt Stafford, Vincent James Mentoring Program. News, weather, and sports next.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bridge that connects southwest Wisconsin to Iowa could be closed for 2 months. Transportation officials shut down the Black Hawk Bridge over the Mississippi River Sunday after the span was found to be moving slightly. The bridge is almost 100 years old and a replacement is being built nearby. For now, people will have to drive to Prairie du Chien or La Crosse to get across the river. Governor Evers is offering Republican state lawmakers a compromise on a plan to clean up PFAS pollution. Evers wants the Department of Natural Resources to have more authority to inspect water on private land. In exchange, Evers is asking the Joint Finance Committee to free up $125 million in grants for pollution cleanup in a bill that got final legislative approval last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Fire conditions remain high in southern Wisconsin even after rain and snow fell last night. That's because of ongoing drought and current windy conditions. Yesterday, the DNR reported 15 wildfires, including a grass fire that burned 5 acres near Coon Valley. And in the past week, 49 wildfires have happened across the state. At this time last year, there had only been 7 wildfires. The DNR says to use caution when burning anything outdoors, as it is still dry in southern Wisconsin and the wind could spread fires quickly. A woman who was hit by a UTV in Westby earlier this month was left in a snowbank for an hour and a half before being found by a passerby. That's according to charges filed against two men who were accused of hit and run causing injury and failing to aid a victim. According to court documents, both men had been drinking before driving the UTV and hitting the 36-year-old woman on February 4th. Neither man called 911. The woman had a fractured vertebrae, a broken jaw, and broken ribs, as well as internal injuries. Both men are due back in court next month.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Movie star Leonardo DiCaprio had some words of wisdom for Timothée Chalamet a few years ago. His advice? No hard drugs and no superhero movies. Leo has never done a Marvel or DC film, and so far neither has Chalamet. But despite his mentor's advice, that could change. Chalamet told Variety that if the script was right and the director was right, he would have to consider it. When asked why, Chalamet explained that it was a superhero movie that made him want to act. Chalamet says when he was 12 years old, he begged his mother to take him to see Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. Chalamet says he left the theater a changed man, or boy. No word yet on if the actor has changed his tune on hard drugs. Timothée Chalamet stars in Dune 2, which opens in theaters March 1st. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and quite a bit colder today. Our high right around 25 this afternoon. The wind northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. That's going to keep the wind chill factor hovering in the single digits to teens most of the day. Tonight, clear 14. Tomorrow, sunny, back up to 45 by Friday. Sunshine with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Maybe you'll
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Matt Stafford of St. James Mentoring Program. And so before we went to break, we were talking about the fact that we have a society that refuses to address the mental health issues of so many, mm-hmm. especially children. And there's this stigma kind of attached to mental health in this society. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So with people that are in poverty or in middle class that really aren't really making it, and it's just hard to get through, you know, just a regular, and they're just a regular weekday or regular month. It's hard for them to have the tools and the things that they need to have a better way of life. Mental health is almost demonized. So it's almost an embarrassment for an individual to say, you know what, I need help. I need a counselor. I need a therapist. You know, it's almost an act of weakness to go to a counselor. It is not an act of weakness. It's actually a show of strength saying, hey, I need some help. I need a better way to think about things. I need to talk this out. And there's multiple individuals. There's multiple entities that can help, you know, like myself. I have a network that I can get individuals to the counselors and networking until we have our own network built at my building because I'm remodeling it. I can get those individuals to where they can get help. But the mental health, you know, thought overall is just, it's, I don't need it. I can pull myself up by the bootstraps. It's everyone needs a mentor. Everyone needs some counseling. It's, are you willing to be strong enough to say, yes, I need
So let me say this. You know, we watch people go into buildings and places and massacre people, mm-hmm. children in schools, massacring other children, adults going into schools, massacring children, adults going all over, massacring innocent people with guns. And at the root of it is a mental illness.
It's a mental illness. Go ahead. So mental illness, you know, for anything, you know, in that extreme aspect, I'm a hunter. I go hunting and I enjoy hunting. I have a high respect for firearms. But with the individual that does something so egregious of that, you know, aspect, it's first the standard of the household that they have. Was it a broken home? Was it their father or mother beat them? You know, it's all about mental health. You know, somebody that does something so egregious, you know, they're not thinking or acting right whatsoever. I was in junior high when Columbine started and when that happened. I can't remember the exact year Columbine was, but it was appalling because those individuals, they didn't know how to express themselves except, you know what? I hate the world. I'm going to take everybody out that they could. So what I saw, even as a young adult, and I was, you know, not mentally well either, I thought, my gosh, if they just had someone that believed in them, their lives would have changed. That's what we're doing at Vincent James Mentoring. My counseling theories are built around the kitchen table. When I grew up, you got praise and discipline at the kitchen table. You were able to, you know, have many conversations, you know, with mom, dad, or brothers and sisters. You know, it was all built out of love and respect.
So let me ask you, how many different degrees do you have?
I never went to college. I am
so you don't have any letters behind your name.
No. If anybody wants to give me a doctorate for free, I'll take a doctorate for free.
But the reason I asked you the question and not facetiously was because we get caught up in this thinking that doctors, you know, who have never experienced the things that you and I are talking about.
Right.
Themselves.
You know, it just,
who have not lived in the environment. Somehow what they've read in a book. I'm not saying that, you know, trained doctors, I'm not that foolish.
Mm-mm.
Don't have knowledge. But I think when we eliminate the fact that people who've gone through things firsthand have knowledge as well, yeah, and invaluable knowledge.
Absolutely. So let me give you a little synopsis of how I grew up. I had 7 deaths in 6 years in my foster family. My biological parents wanted to kill me, you know, growing up. I was on forced visitations, you know, to go to them. After my father passed away, I started drinking heavily. My best friend in junior high and high school were drug dealers. And then also I became extremely rageful towards myself that I'm not worthy to even breathe air. So though just gaining all that anger of why God, why so much hurt, and I couldn't even see through the hurt at all. It took mentorship to say, Matt, you're worth living. So what we're trying to do at Vincent James Mentoring is build a non-conventional counseling center and mentoring center that when you walk in the door, when the building is fully remodeled, when you walk in the door, you're like, my gosh, I have security.
You know, and for those of you in the listening audience, it is critically important that you hear this message from the horse's mouth. And, you know, as someone who has a son who is mentally ill, and as speaking of myself, and someone who's been dealing with the mental health system for the past 27 years with my son, I can tell you that the message that Mr. Matt Stafford is bringing is part of what message needs to be brought. And so we keep hearing, well, there are not enough doctors. Well, you know, you don't always need a doctor. Sometimes you need somebody who cares, a kind heart, an ear that is lent to listening, and a commitment to making somebody else's life better. I think, you know, Christians will call that, you know, being a Christian, you know, and looking at somebody else and doing all we can to make somebody else's life better. That's what young Matt Stafford is doing, Vincent James Mentoring Program. Let's talk about you got a fundraiser coming up.
Yes, I have a banquet at the Rotunda here downtown Waukesha. My gosh, I am so very proud to be, you know, from Waukesha and to have a banquet in one of the more historical buildings. It's just beautiful in there. So this fundraiser is to give a report for the past year of the individuals that we've been able to serve, and then the next couple things we're going to be doing this upcoming year. And, you know, to get individuals to the fundraiser is to show is to give the individuals that I'm helping to show them that you're not alone. There's a group of individuals that are coming to these banquets, these fundraisers, and they solely believe in you. They might not be able to do what I'm doing with working directly with the ones that need help, but they're able to come here, support, and, you know, strengthen the network.
So where's the fundraiser going to be located?
It's going to be at the Rotunda, downtown Waukesha.
What day?
April 6th. The doors open at 5 p.m. If you would like to come, please call me. 262-751-0303. It's $80 for a single seat, $150 for a couple, and $550 for a table. I have seating for 200 individuals, and I need to know by 2 weeks in advance if you guys are coming. If I have openings, you know, the day of, I will gladly open the doors for that, but if you guys are able to call me, that'd be great. You could also email me. It should be on my website today or within the next week, but I also have a Facebook called Vincent James Mentoring. You can also, you know, notify me that you're coming to the banquet.
You know, you've come a long way since the first time I had you on.
Thank you.
And so clearly this is a commitment that you, a life commitment that you have, but there's clearly some people who see benefit in what you're doing who are helping you along the way.
Yeah, I have a great board of directors. I've recently got my right hand, her name's Melissa Chapman, and she is a wonderful individual. She tells me what I need to do and what I don't need. You know, she puts me in the right direction. She's my co-director. I've known her ever since high school, and she's a wonderful individual. I'm just grateful that I'm able to serve the ones that no one wants to work with.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Matt Stafford, and we'll keep and this listening audience informed of your progress. Up next,
thank you so much.
Frequent cannabis use linked to heart attacks and strokes. What? Oh, all right. 844-967-2789 is the number.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season. And since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by black actors. The first black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Cannabis use may significantly increase our risk of heart attack and strokes, a study of 430,000 U.S. adults has found. This association was seen even after controlling for tobacco use and other cardiovascular risk factors. Roughly 48.2 million Americans, about 15% of the total population, reported using cannabis at least once in 2019, according to data from U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And while the drug may still be illegal, at a federal level, cannabis, a.k.a. marijuana, has been legalized for recreational use across 24 states and Washington, D.C. And, you know, what is surprising to me is that this study that was just done in the last year or two comes up with this information, the increased risk of heart attack and strokes. I would think that, you know, as long as marijuana has been around, that the studies have been done over and over and over and over again. And I just wonder why this study that just came out, what it looks like compared to studies from, you know, years ago, decades ago, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. They've certainly been studying marijuana and its impact on people since then. Does it seem inconceivable to me that if you smoke a lot of marijuana, that you're going to wind up increasing the risk of heart attack and strokes? No, it doesn't. If you smoke cigarettes, you're going to increase the risk of heart attack. If you smoke pipes, if you smoke cigars, you are going to increase the chances of you having a heart attack or stroke. Anything that you're inhaling into your lungs is going to cause, other than air, you know, is going to cause some problems with you. Now, I don't know if this is to deter and has been released now because of this constant fight against our federal government decriminalizing marijuana and legalizing marijuana on a national scale. You know, maybe that's the reason that they've released this information now. But it certainly makes me stop and pause and wonder why we didn't hear about it before. Despite common use, little is known about the risk of cannabis use, and in particular, the cardiovascular disease risk. Abra Jeffries, a data analyst at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, said in a statement, "The perceptions of the harmfulness of smoking cannabis are decreasing, and people have not considered cannabis use dangerous to their health." You know, I don't ever hide the fact that I was a frequent weed smoker. Calvin, I know you find that hard to believe. I smoked a lot of marijuana in my life. I have to be honest with you. I enjoyed my time smoking weed. I've long since stopped that. I rarely, if ever, I mean, I used to smoke cigarettes. I quit that many years ago. You know, I rarely, if ever, have a drink of anything, a beer. It's so rare that I have a beer. If I have a beer once a month, that's a lot for me. I rarely drink. So, you know, there was a time when I did most of those things, but as I grew wiser in my life and realized the value of my life, I kind of cut back on almost all those things. But I'm not saying, because again, I smoked weed 20 years. Calvin, yeah, 20 years. They were great years, by the way. They were really, really fun years of my life. So I'm a guy who supports, you know, if people want to smoke weed, man, they should be allowed to smoke weed. You can't say, hey, you can't smoke weed because it's going to cause you cardiovascular disease and you still allow cigarettes. You know what I mean, Calvin? Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, it just is kind of hypocritical.
It is, man. You can't say, well, you know, this is going to cause all these problems with you if you smoke weed. And we know the number one killer is alcohol use. And yet there are bars on every corner, right? Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously not the same thing, but the effects they have on people and that kind of thing, they're definitely at least comparable.
Oh, no question whatsoever. And so I always say to people, you know, you can, it's easy to point fingers and vilify people who smoke pot, you know, but you can't point your finger at people who smoke pot if you got a drink in your hand. Just people's choices, and people have a right to make the choices they make. It's that time. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, 844-967-2789. And you really need to listen to news, sports, and especially weather, man. It's 19 degrees after being 74 yesterday. I want to hear what's next.
From the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Tune in Wednesday. Very special Devils Advocates. The boys are back from Michigan. We'll tell you all about it and the results of the Michigan primary. Tune in Devils Advocates 3 to 6.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular or known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A series of wildfires in the Texas Panhandle, they've swallowed up at least 500,000 acres in the area around